as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. You and I know tonight, as we read in the Bible about King Solomon, he's the wisest man who ever lived. It is recorded in God's word in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5 to 10. God offered him a petition. Just ask me anything, anything you want. And this man asked God that God would give him wisdom. He was king. He was a ruler. He wanted to know how to rule righteously. He wanted to know how to rule the people. And he asked God for wisdom. And God granted him his request. It says in 1 Kings 4, verse 29, and God gives Solomon wisdom and understanding, exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. God granted, God gave Solomon wisdom. Now, when we read the Bible, of course, in 1 Kings chapter 4, it tells us that the people came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all the kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom. Now, the word was getting around. There was no internet. There was no TV. There was no text messaging. But the word was going around to different kingdoms. You want to go to listen to Solomon. He's the king of Israel. He's a great king. And he is full of wisdom. And it tells us here in the Bible that all the kings flocked. They all flocked to go to hear Solomon, this wise king. Words of wisdom. Well, I'm glad tonight, I know Solomon is dead. We don't have to go to hear Solomon tonight. Solomon has come to us. Because here are words of wisdom. Words of wisdom that fell from the lips of Solomon. This book of Proverbs, of course, are the words of wisdom that came from Solomon. In chapter 1, verse 1, it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Verse 2 says, to know wisdom and instruction. So it tells us immediately here in the reading of this book, the book of Proverbs, why it is written. What are we going to find in this book when we come to read it? It tells us to know wisdom. Solomon's wisdom's in this book. So we don't have to flock today in a sense. If we could, we can't. But if we had to, and we could, we don't have to go today to Israel to listen and sit at the feet of Solomon. Here he's come to us in his word. Words of wisdom. When you go through the book, there are many instructions, many lessons. Oh, there's wisdom about sin. You think there in chapter 1, verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thy not. Verse 15, my son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path. And Solomon's saying to his son and to young people here, listen, if you are enticed, enticed to walk that pathway of wickedness, that way of sin, don't be going with the crowd. And I say to young people tonight, it's very, very easy to go with the crowd. You may be in school. You may be in university. You may be enticed. You may be tempted to do things that's wrong. And maybe you have fallen. Oh, read the book of Proverbs. He tells them very plainly here, walk not in the way. But you know, we all have, haven't we? We have all sinned against the Lord. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Every one of us has sinned against the Lord. Well, in this great book of wisdom, Solomon has given instruction concerning many, many matters. And one of them is to do with sin. One we can think of do is slander, because he says in Proverbs 10, verse 18, he that utters a slander is a fool. And of course, there are messages about salvation as well in the words of wisdom of Solomon. Remember Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. Know what he says? He says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I meet people today and they say, well, I'm on the right way. This is my way. I believe if I do this, if I follow this man, that man, if I do this thing or that thing, I will get to heaven. I will get to everlasting life. And Solomon tells us there's a way that seemeth right. It may look right. It may feel right. But you know it's not right. Because that way does not lead you to Christ. It's a wrong way. I think of Solomon. You can go through the book, friends. Words of wisdom. And so we come to our text. He's still given words of wisdom. The words of knowledge, the words of wisdom falling from this man of God. And he's given us wisdom here about a message. He's making a contrast concerning water and good news. He says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so was good news from a far country. He brings us now to a message. And in this message he brings to us are great words of wisdom. I want us to think of this message that he brings to us here in our text tonight. A message from heaven is my title. And I want to say, first of all, about the location of the message. The text speaks about a message. Now listen tonight. Here is a message from a far country. This is the source of this message. We're living in a day and age, you know, we can get news from all over the world in a moment. There was somebody died the other day in Australia that I knew. And in the middle of the night, my phone was going off with a message about the death of someone. We know by a click of a button. We can get news from Australia, just using Australia here tonight, which is over nearly 9,500 miles away, you see. And that's just from a far country. And Solomon is speaking about a message from a far country. And we can take the words of our text here to refer to heaven. Because remember here tonight, the Bible describes heaven as a country. And that is found in Hebrews chapter 11 and the verse 6. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. So here's a message tonight, friends. It's from a far country, it's from heaven. And the heavens are great, you know. And the heavens are fast. They tell us that the farthest away stars ever detected is about 55 million light years away. Now, we're talking scientific terms here, 55 light years away. One light year, for instance, is about 5.88 trillion miles. To give you a little illustration about this, a light year is the speed of light. And if I had a motor car sitting out of that gate, and I says to some of you fellows, would you like to come for a drive with me in my fast car? And she says, well, is she speedy? I says, she is speedy. She travels at the speed of light. Oh, well, I'd get in with you. And you got in with me. And we set off going at the speed of light. In 1 second, we'd have lapped the earth 7.5 times. In 1 second. In 2 seconds, we'd have been around the world 15 times. We would have to do 2 seconds to get off where we started off. You see, dear friends, the speed of light is 186,000 and a bit extra miles a second. And the Bible tells me here, going at that speed to the farthest away star, it would take us 55 million light years. Oh, the vastness of the heavens. And think of this tonight. God is in the highest of heavens. He sent a message. There's a message from the far country. From the far country tonight. Nehemiah 9, verse 13, it says, "But the Lord, I camest down also upon Mount Sinai and speakest with them from heaven." And so when we come here tonight to God's house, we can say, well, we have a message from the far country, its locality. There's a message from heaven. And that's far away tonight. As I've showed you just briefly about light years and the speed of it. Think about not only its locality, this message. Think about its divinity. Being a message from heaven, listen here tonight, is a message from God. It's a divine message. Many people debate and they ask the question, does God exist? Has God ever revealed himself? Well, the answer is very simple, of course, to those questions. Yes, God does exist. Has God ever revealed himself? He has. And he's done it in two ways. Creation. Creation reveals the handiwork of God. We can see his power in creation. His word, we hear his voice. It's his voice. And dear friends, when we come to the Bible, you'll read it time and time again. For instance, in Genesis 1, verse 3, and the other verses after it, verse 9, 11, 14, and so on, you'll read these words, God said. God said. From the very first book of the Bible, we are told, this is God's word. God is speaking. God has given a message. And other times we read, thus saith the Lord. So we have a message. We have a message tonight from a far country. The message from God. Look at Jeremiah 1, verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, this was Jeremiah, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Now the words are coming out of Jeremiah. Listen, were not his words. They were God's words. And God said, I have put my words in thy mouth. I think here, my friends, tonight, of the divinity of the message. There's a message tonight. For the world has come from the far country. It's come from God. We have it here tonight. We have it in the Bible. A message from God. Matthew Henry says the Bible is a letter God has sent to us. So we think of this message. And then we think about its integrity. Some of the news we read about today is lies. And you couldn't trust it. There are many things that's happened over the years. Now, you can turn your mind back, of course, to Madeleine Beth McCann. Some people can remember that little girl who was taken away, kidnapped on the 3rd of May, 2007. Now, we can remember that, some of us now. Some of the young ones can't remember it, but it's been on the news even recently. Young girl, holiday with her parents in Portugal, and the parents were away from where she was. They kept going back and forward. They went back this time to where they were staying, and she was gone. She's never been found to this day. But I remember when that broke out, the Daily Express, I lived in England at the time, and the Daily Express says, we're keeping this on the front page until this young girl is found. And I remember buying the newspaper. You drop the children off to school and then run into the little post office shop, and I got my paper and back home. And boys, I was really into this story. And they said this, arrests are imminent. In other words, we've caught the ones who've taken her away. We're going to find her. But I couldn't wait till the next day. And I went up and into the shop again, and I got the paper and I read it. And boys, there's a whole other story. And I looked, there's no word of finding her at all. Oh no, it's happening, it's going to happen very soon. And this went on for week after week, and week after week, and week after week, and I caught myself on. These fellas are telling lies. They don't know what they're talking about. So just really, to sell the newspaper. I want to say tonight to you, we have a message from heaven. Here's a message we can trust. Here's a message that is true. It is the word of God. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in John 17, verse 17, thy word is truth. In Revelation 21, verse 5, he says, write, for these words are true and faithful. And I'm glad tonight this is what we preach. And this is what we believe. The Bible, the message from heaven, it is full of truth. It's from the God of truth. And there are many false messages in the world today. Well, I say to you, my friends, they're lies. The message from Islam, it's a lie. The message of Mormonism, Joseph Smith, it's a lie. The message of the Jehovah's Witnesses is a lie. The message of Romanism or Ecumenism, whatever it may be, it's a lie. We have the truth tonight. There's a message from the far country. It's come from God. It's found in His Word. And listen, it's true. And I believe it. But I wouldn't be standing preaching here tonight if I didn't believe it. You see, dear friends, the integrity of the message. And you're glad you can say, I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible. It is the Word of God. It is true. And the dignity of this message, the royal stamp of heaven is upon it. Remember, He is Lord and He is King. Psalm 10, verse 16 tells us, the Lord is King forever. And I think of this message from heaven. We have the stamp. We have the message from the King. Imagine you tomorrow got a letter into your mailbox from Buckingham Palace. The mark of the Queen was upon it. It would be important. Oh, I say to you tonight, Solomon, he's speaking about a message. He's telling us there's a message from God. A message we can trust. A message that is true. A message that has come from a far country to us down to this world tonight. Oh, the locality of the message. It's from a far country. Heaven's far above us. We're only inhabitants of this earth. We've got a message from the Lord. We were singing that night. Hallelujah. Now that's the locality of the message. Or the location of the message, sorry. Think of the description of the message. He describes it as good news. He describes it as cold waters to a thirsty soul. We're living in a day and age that there's nothing seems to be on the news but bad news. I'm not asked for a show of hands tonight in the congregation, but here's my question to you. Who is fed up listening to the news? Maybe a lot of hands will. The young people's hand may not be up. But we were brought up in the news. That's just the way it was in Northern Ireland. We're always going to the news to see what was happening in our land. We're brought up in the news. I would still, if I'm in the house and there's news upon, I have it all. But I want to tell you, we're fed up listening to that. I only want a few minutes and I says, I'll do my. And it's been like that for a long time. What were we talking about for a couple of years, a few years? Brexit, Brexit. Every time you put it on, Brexit. And then there's the COVID, the coronavirus. And that's all we seem to hear. And there's always bad news and bad news. There's scandals, disasters, news that break our hearts. Friends, tonight, here's good news. And that's what we need to hear, isn't it? We're living in a terrible world and terrible times of sin and darkness. But we need to hear good news. The gospel means, of course, good news. In Mark's Gospel 1, verse 1, it says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I said tonight to you, there's good news from the far country. Good news from God to our hearts tonight. The gospel's good news. This is the message that needs to be broadcasted out tonight. The good news of the gospel. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. Oh, tell you, friends, it's the best news. This is the news that sinners need to hear. Remember, they're lost without Him. We're all lost without Jesus Christ. We're all heading towards a lost eternity in hell forever. But here's great news. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. This is good news. There's a Savior from all sin. There's one who's mighty to save us, who's come from heaven. My dear friends, this is good news. The coming of the Lord Jesus to save us. 1 John 4, verse 14. Oh, the good news. God sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. That's good news. Oh, you hear people standing on street corners here about London and so on. Read all about it. Read all about it. Man, they've got the news. And you know, in the newspapers, the worse the news is, the more papers are sold. The scandals and things that's going on, that's full of evil and full of sin. And they're standing on the street and they're saying, listen, read all about it. Read all about it. And it's bad news. Oh, dear friends, if we can get this message out, read all about it. Read all about it. God has sent His Son into the world to save us. Oh, friends, it's good news. This is good news. Look at the message that came. The angel of the Lord brought to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And the word good tidings is the name, the word for gospel. And the angel is preaching the gospel, and he's saying to these shepherds, I'm bringing you good news of great joy, which shall be unto all people. The Lord Jesus Christ has come into the world to save us. Well, I want to say that to you tonight. This description of this message is found in the Word of the living God, that God has sent His Son to be our Savior. And that's good news. I thank the Lord for the opportunity, even doing the meetings are locked down on us, out on the streets, open air speakers, Colin Maxwell, myself, and some others helping us some days, bringing the good news out to people that God has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. And the good news not only tells about the coming of Christ, but the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. The good news brings us to the cross. The cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends. How He loved us. How He went to the cross. How He died a horrific death. How He suffered. How He bled. He died to put away our sin by the sacrifice of Himself. The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 3 and the verse 18, for Christ has also was once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He may bring us to God. And Peter's bringing out this good news, this message of the gospel, that Christ has died, the just for the unjust. Listen, that He may bring us to God. This is good news. We can be forgiven. Christ has died. He has suffered. He has bled. He's the Savior of the world. He made a sacrifice for our sin. He died an atoning death. He died because He loved me. He died to save me. His blood can wash away all my sin. My friend, this is good news from the far country. There's no message like the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus died a horrific death. He died for me. He died for sinners. And that's good news. That we don't have to die. We don't have to endure the wrath of God. We don't have to go to hell. We can be forgiven. Because the Lord Jesus Christ died for sinners. Salvation is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is good news. 1 John 5, verse 11, this is the record that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. You see, He died, He rose again from the dead. Eternal life now is found in Jesus Christ. He's the one who saves. He's the one who cleanses you from all sin. His blood washes us whiter than the snow. He's the one who can give us everlasting life. And friends, He's the only one who can save us. And He's willing to save. And He can take us to heaven. This is good news from the far country. This is the description of this message. to Solomon, way, way back, he's speaking about good news from a far country tonight. And the gospel is good news. Christ Jesus came into the world to save us. He didn't save himself. He offered himself a sacrifice for our sins. He can save to the very uttermost. And here's good news tonight for you, unsaved person in this meeting, lost without a Savior, heading towards the grave, heading towards a lost eternity. The Lord Jesus can save you. Don't think you're too bad. Don't think tonight you're too late. Trust Him. Come to Him. Put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the message of the gospel. If I believe in Him, I shall be saved. The description of this message is good news from a far country. And I'm glad, my friends, that's the message that this church preaches, our denomination preaches. There's a Savior, the Lord Jesus, who can save to the very uttermost. It never changes. That's the gospel. We believe the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone which believeth. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Not a person here, I trust, who's believing in Christ, who's trusting Him tonight, that you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Everyone which believeth. You see, here's the good news from the far country tonight. That Jesus came into the world and died. He rose again from the dead. He can save us. There's one who can rescue us. There's one who can cleanse away every sin. There's one who can bring us back to God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's good news. That's a description of the message. And can I say to you here lastly about the reception of the message? Well, he does speak about the reception of the message. He says it's cold water to a thirsty soul. That's the reception of the message. How does a thirsty soul receive water, refreshing water? Listen, they receive it gladly. They long for it. Sometimes what we would say here in Northern Ireland, I'm choking for a drink. Choking for a drink. We're thirsty. We want water. We want refreshing water. We want cold water. Dear friends, we grasp it and we drink it quickly. You see that in Hagar in the wilderness, in Genesis 21, verse 14 to 19, with her son Ishmael out in the hot sun, and they run out of water. They're looking for water, and God shows them a well, and they receive the water. Listen, they receive it gladly. They're glad to get it. And when a man or woman receives the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive it gladly. Gladly. I was glad the day I heard about Christ and His love for me and how He could save me and how He could give me everlasting life if I trusted Him. And by God's grace, it was a day I received it gladly. And many people here tonight in this meeting has received Christ, the water of life, gladly. Philip went down to preach in Samaria in Acts 8, verse 8. And it tells him when he preached, there were people, of course, received this message gladly. Notice it says, and there was great joy in that city. There was joy. Isaiah said in Isaiah 12 and verse 3, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Listen, with joy you shall be saved. Some people think, if I come to Christ, if I give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll make me miserable. Dear friends, you'll not read that in the Bible. You'll not read that in the Bible. Oh, with joy I bring this water out of the wells of salvation. Are people here tonight? I ask you all converted, are you happy? Are you happy where you are? Are you happy with your life? Are you happy where you're going to? Of course, if you're honest, you say, no, I'm not happy. I'm not happy. I'm without Christ. I'm without God. I'm without hope. But I tell you tonight, you can find joy in Jesus Christ. Receive the water of life gladly.
He'll fill you with joy. You'll receive it freely. Remember Isaiah 55, verse 1, whoever you want that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that have no money, come ye buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And Revelation, it says in 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Listen, take the water of life freely. It's free. Salvation is free. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, he's paid it all. Here should be the reception of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the cold water to a thirsty soul. I'm glad to get it. I'm glad to come to Christ. I'm glad to trust him. Friends, some of you are tonight. Have you received him? Have you received Christ gladly, freely, immediately? Think of the word thirsty soul. It is reckoned in the right conditions or wrong conditions, whatever way you want to put it. You can only last about 3 or 4 days without water. Our body's made up with water. We need water for ourselves. We need water to live. And you can only live a short time without water. Without it, you're in danger of death. Friends, you need to receive Christ immediately. How long have you listened to the gospel and you're not saved? How long have you lived in sin without Christ? 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, more perhaps. Dear friends, receive him immediately. Someone quoted tonight, I think it was in the prayer meeting, there is but a step between me and death. And that's true of me. And that's true of you. You know not what a day will bring forth. I asked you in closing tonight, are you ready? Are you saved? Listen, the water of life has been offered to you tonight. Come and drink. Come and receive Christ, and he will save you. Or it's too late. Too late, my friends. We sing that hymn, be in time, when the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. If in sin you longer wait, and you'll find no open gate, and your cry will be too late, listen, you've got to be in time. Would you come and trust Christ tonight? The Lord can save you. Oh, the reception of this message. I know there are people who have received Christ, and they're saved. But there are some here who hasn't. And you're still turning away from Christ. Don't be a fool. The devil says plenty of time. Some other time you get right with God. That's a lie. Come and trust him tonight. And he can save you. He can give you everlasting life. Oh, here we have a message from a far country. I trust you'll say, I'll receive Christ. And if I can help you, when older social distance, I can talk to you from 2 meters away. No problem. And you can talk to me. But don't go home without him. It's time to be saved, friends. It's time to be ready to meet God. Would you come and trust him? And if I can help you, we're here to help you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, not one of them, and thou shalt be saved. And he'll hear your prayer tonight, and he'll give you everlasting life. I trust the Lord will bless his word to our heart. Let's just close in a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for being with us. I pray you bless the gospel truths to our hearts. We thank you for the message that we find with this text in the Bible, Lord, this message from a far country. What a message that Jesus saves and his blood washes whiter than the snow. Right upon the hearts of those who's unconverted, and even those who's listening in tonight who's unconverted, I pray that through the foolishness of my preaching that they will believe in Christ tonight, that they might be saved. Take us our separate ways to our homes in safety. I ask of thee, until we meet again, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.